Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. I am really glad that you are either starting or ending your day with us. You know, we live in a world that is obsessed with the spectacular. We look for power in palaces, influence in the corner office, and security in the size of our bank accounts. We are conditioned to believe that if you want to change the world, you need a platform, a microphone, and a massive following. But the kingdom of God is often described as an upside-down kingdom. It operates on a completely different set of physics than the world we inhabit. God's providence, his guiding hand over history, often baffles us because it arrives in such unexpected packaging. We look for a lion, and he gives us a lamb. We look for a warrior, he gives us a child. We look for a queen, and he gives us, well, that's where we're going today. We're going to be looking specifically at Luke chapter 1, specifically verses 26 through 38. This is a passage that many of us have heard thousands of times around Christmas. But today, I want us to really slow down and hear the scandal of this, or the potential scandal of it. God singles out an ordinary individual to play a pivotal part in his purposes, reminding us that his favor isn't prize for the strong, but a gift for the available. So let's open up and read along in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." The angel departed from her. Let's sit with that for a moment. The scholars who look at this passage generally agree that Mary was likely around 15 to 16 years old based on the language that's used here. And in the first century, a teenage girl from Nazareth was essentially a nobody. Nazareth wasn't a huge hub of commerce or religion. It was the kind of town, you know, people made jokes about. And yet, the angel Gabriel shows up there. Notice what Gabriel says in verse 30. "For you have found favor with God." It's crucial we understand this word favor. It's the same root word for grace. God didn't choose Mary because she had the best resume, the most spiritual discipline, or because she was like this moral leader of her youth group. No, the God who breathed stars into existence and sculpted the mountains simply chose her. He handpicked her. And this is the logic of the gospel, which is often offensive to our modern sensibilities. Like, we love the logic of merit. You get what you pay for. You earn your keep. But God operates on the logic of grace. His economy is backwards from ours. His favor rested on Mary, not because of her performance, but because of his infinite goodness. He decides to launch his rescue operation for the entire cosmos, not through a military coup, but through the womb of a peasant girl. And then comes the impossible promise. Gabriel tells her that she will mother the Messiah. Verse 37, he drops the anchor for our souls, for nothing will be impossible with God. Tara Lee Koble, who does the Bible recap, put it this way, what God initiates, he will sustain and fulfill. Think about that. It is not in God's nature to abandon his projects. If he starts a work, he will finish it. Mary seems to grasp this intuitively. It would have been incredibly easy for her to crumble here. Like we see other giants of the faith struggle in moments like this. When Sarah was told that she'd have a child in her old age, she laughed in God's face, like a cynical laugh of, yeah, right. When Moses was called to speak to Pharaoh, he argued with God, pointing out his stutter and his insecurity. But Mary, she doesn't laugh. She doesn't present a list of reasons why she's unqualified. She simply believes. She says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And this is a profound, quiet beauty that we find in belief. It's not that she understood the mechanics of it. Like she asked, how will this be? But she trusted the character behind the promise. She didn't slip into her self-doubt. She didn't dismiss the promise as a hallucination. She remained firm. She understood that the spiritual life isn't about achieving great things for God. It's about becoming a vessel where God can achieve his things through you. Right? And it is a posture of total vulnerability, saying, I am not the author of this story. You are. Now, let's take a moment to pray it up. I want to invite you to look through your own life and look at it through the lens of Mary's response here. Where are you struggling to believe that God can do the impossible? Maybe you're looking at a broken marriage. A child has kind of wandered away from you, the background, their faith. Maybe you're looking at financial ruin or a recurring sin struggle, and you've mentally filed it under the impossible category. You stopped expecting God to be able to move or be interested in moving. Let's bring that thing to him now. Lord, we confess that we are often more like Sarah than Mary. May laugh cynically at the idea that you can bring life out of dead places. We look at our own limitations, our own lack of resources, our past failures, our exhaustions, and we assume you're limited by them too. Lord, we ask specifically today for the grace of surrender, for the ability to say, let it be to me. God, we know that Mary's yes to you meant life of difficulty. It meant social stigma. It meant fleeing Egypt. It meant eventually watching her own son die in a horrific way. And yet she trusted you. Flood us today with that same sustaining love. Remind us that we are your beloved. Silence the voice of our own insecurity and help us to rest in the knowledge that what you initiate, you will sustain. We don't need to be strong enough. We need to be open enough. Make us your servants today. Friends, as we head out to the rest of our day, how do we live this out? Mary's interaction with Gabriel teaches us that nothing is impossible for God. But we have to ask, why did God choose to do the impossible? Well, why didn't he just do the probable? I think he chooses the impossible paths, the teenage girl from Nazareth, the shepherd boys against the giants, the death on the cross, so that when the victory comes, we cannot steal glory. Like if we could fix our own lives, we would worship ourselves. God brings us to the end of our resources so that we can discover the beginning of his. So here is your challenge for today. Identify the interruption. Mary had plans. She was betrothed. She had a timeline. And Gabriel interrupted all of that. I don't know about you, but usually when my day gets interrupted by a coworker, a car problem, need from a neighbor, family, whatever, like I can get angry. We feel like our kingdom is being invaded. But today, try and see the interruption not as a nuisance, but as an invitation. What if that unexpected phone call or that delay in traffic is God's way of working out his purpose? What if he is asking you to trust him in the chaos? Instead of wavering, let God sustain you. Walk into your workplace, your school, your home today with the quiet confidence of Mary. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to secure your own legacy. You just have to be available. Say to God, I am your servant. I'm here. Do what you want to do. And that may be the most dangerous, beautiful, and freeing prayer a human being can pray. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.